Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV. More on unity with God. Now, last week we learned in any given group of Christians, even believers, there are varying degrees of oneness or unity. Remember, unity and oneness is the same word translated with God. But at the point of which we stop being one with God, our communion with Him and others, and during that separation process that we looked at last week, it ends. And as I ended last week, I shared unity with God will cost us something. And the more unity we have with God, the more it will cost us. There is a price we must pay to come to know a holy God, my friend. There is a price we must pay for everything we get from God. Even our salvation costs something. For us, salvation is free for the asking. But for Jesus, it cost Him His life. Yes, my friend, the cost, the price we will pay will be separation from this world and those who do not desire to come to know a holy God. To come to know all of Him, my friend, will cost us everything. This, my friend, will not, you won't hear this in most churches or on radio, especially on TV, but maybe that is why we don't see much unity in churches around the world, especially in America. And why not? No unity with God. Again, unity originates with God and not with man. Let me say that again. Unity with God originates with God and not with man. You know, an entire group of Christians, even believers, may be able to rejoice when a soul comes to salvation. However, suppose God is doing a deep work in one of them that requires much suffering and loss. How many of these Christians, even some believers, can rejoice in this situation? Those who are still of the earthly, even though they are Christians and maybe believers, cannot rejoice over the work that God is doing in them because they have no communion with God in this matter. You know, the disciples, all 70 of them, they have healed the sick and even some raised the dead, but they had no communion with Jesus when the woman broke the alabaster box and anointed Jesus' feet. And we can find that in Matthew 26:7-12. They said, "Why this waste?" Now, the alabaster box was a spikenard, which is a very costly ointment. The Bible says it was worth more than 300 pence, or in today's value, that would only be $45, but in the disciples' day, that would truly be a great treasure. Mary paid a great price to have communion with Jesus. Again, the disciples said, "Why this waste? For it may have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor." And we find that in Mark 14:4-5. But Jesus, in verse 6 here, says, "She had wrought a good work on me." Yes, my friend, there is a great price to pay for unity with God. So too, there is a price we must pay to come into unity with our brothers and our sisters. Not by spending money like, you know, like Mary, but allowing God free sway and free reign in our lives to do His work. Oh, He wants to break things, but not the alabaster box, but He wants to break up that hard-hearted, hallowed ground in our heart. And allow Him to plow it with circumstances and situations not of our choosing. Unity must be worked in our heart before unity can come to the church. Let me say that again. Unity must be worked in our heart before unity can come to the church. And true communion requires that each person knows the heart of the other. Let me say that again. True communion requires that each person knows the heart of the other. True communion will exist when two are one as to their desires and their values and their aspirations and even their enjoyments. Think, my friend, maybe this is why one reason why many marriages, even Christian marriages, do not work out. No unity. Oh, there is purpose and there's plans, but but they must be made from their heart. And where there is no secrets between the two, for at what point secrets begin, communion will end. There will be no secrets between those two, for at the point of secrets begin, communion will end. Unity is a work of God that happens first in our heart, and then it manifests in our love for God and each other out. It comes as an expression of the heart of the Father. No matter how much and how hard we promise or we agree to come together, it will never, ever happen. In this sense, our communion with God will ever be increasing as He is able to share with us His heart and His secrets based upon our ability to receive them. In order to do so, we must desire, we must give God permission to work in our lives and allow permission to God working in our lives. Wow. And we must allow God to purify our heart toward Him and others. Did you get that? The work of God in our life depends upon our desires and our ability to receive correction through that purification. The work of God in our life does not depend on God, but on us. Our ability to love Him more than the world, and our ability and our desire to do what we know that which is right. The work of God in our life depends not on God's power nor His authority, but on our faithfulness and our dedication and our commitment to Him. Oh, my friend, our walk with God will only be to the extent we are committed to Him. Let me say that again. Our walk with God will only be to the extent that we are committed to Him, and not to the church or a pastor or some denomination. Yes, we then are becoming one unity with God, as Jesus was in unity with Him. As Jesus desires to be in unity with the disciples. Wow. This was Jesus' heart's cry in the real Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, "And now I am no more in the world." Now, He was physically in the world, but not spiritually. "But these," now that would be us, "are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those," that would be us again, "whom they have given me, that they may be one," unity again, "as we are." John 17:11, tremendous verse. Now, not just getting along with each other, but being in unity with each other, as you know, as the Holy Father and Jesus is in unity. What a difference, my friend. Do you see that? You know, this is what Jesus' second great desire, unity for the body of the believers. His greatest desire, though, was to do the will of His Father. He would do nothing and say nothing that His Father did not tell Him to do or to say. John 5:19 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For what things shall ever He have done, these also do the Son likewise." In John 5:30, Jesus said, "I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father." Wow. "I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father." Maybe when we start doing and saying what the Father wants us to do and say, there will be unity in small groups and in church, especially in America. Oh Lord, help our disobedience. The unity in the house of God brings us individually and as a church or a home group into oneness with God. I like that so much, I will say that again. Unity in the house of God brings us individually and as a church or a home group into oneness with God. It must start with you and I, my friend. No longer than to complain about the problem in your marriages or problems in the church, whatever. It is not up to your wife, and it's and it's not this person's fault and that person's fault. Oh, no. It's not the people's fault in the church or the home group. Oh, no. The fault lies at our feet. Unity happens when our hearts are one towards God and each other, out from God's desire and judgments in our life. Wow. Amen. Next week, we will start to look at the purposes or the reasons for unity. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, hoping that you have a tremendous week and look forward to speaking to you all again next Sunday at 9 o'clock on WJCV. My heart and prayer is God bless you all very much. Amen.